You've never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind. This is the Taxi Dave Show.
That'll be the day when a bum like you can take care of me. I suppose this is the first time you ever run into a bus driver, isn't it?
Your wasted words already been heard. Are you really God? Yes or no?
Well, it's Sunday night. And this is the place to be, the Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Lacus Technologies and Hereford Insurance Company. I'm Taxi Dave Pollock. We're here in the studios, the heart of iHeartRadio America. And we're down here with County Clare.
Hello, darling.
With Carolyn Protz.
Ni hao, Chinese New Year.
And with John McDonough, the newest Russian operative.
This is it. More at 11.
A little later in the show, we'll have former Assemblyman Richard Brodsky on, and also City Councilman Barry Gredenchik will be on. And we'll be taking live calls at 800-321-0710. And we will also be reading your emails at taxihale@aol.com. Last week, we had a somber show. We had the brother of Doug Shifter. Doug Shifter is the driver who took his life outside City Hall gates in his vehicle, dressed in a suit, as though he was going to work. And his brother, George Shifter, was kind enough to come on this radio show and answered a lot of tough questions and explained why his brother did what he did. That said, we also had other tragedies in the United States, the shootings in the schools. And I'll ask again, where is the leadership? You have Rubio, who's accepted $3 million in NRA contributions. You had McDowell, who's received $12 million from the NRA. And where is that one politician who's going to stand up and tell America and tell other politicians, I am giving back every penny that the NRA has given me, and I will no longer accept contributions from them? It's time. You know, those 4 million students who have been and who will be protesting again in March, they're going to be voting in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And all you guys
You're
are going to be
knocked
out.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. This week, we also have some recalls, and before I forget, I just want to mention a happy birthday to Neil Greenbaum, one of the sponsors of the show is Hereford Insurance Company. So, Neil, thank you for sponsoring the show, and happy birthday to you. A lot of happiness.
And get well, Mama.
And my mother, you heard last week, was hospitalized. She fell down, broke her hip. She's now in therapy up at the Helen Hayes Rehabilitation Center up in West Haverstraw. In fact, Claire and I went to see her this afternoon, and right from there we drove down to the studios down here. So get well, Mom. I miss her phone calls at the end of the show.
You're a genius. That's only a mother could say.
So there was a meeting down at City Hall, and Carolyn Protz and John McDonough were down there. And we're going to have our guests on talk about congestion pricing in a couple of minutes. And after we talk about congestion pricing, I want to get back to what Congressman Espiat was talking about. He was calling for a dissolve the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission. Why? Apparently, in his district, there are a lot of drivers who pick up street hails illegally, who've been summoned for doing the illegalities. So what's the best way to handle it? You get a politician to come out and say, well, why don't you just give us street hails? Give us street hails, and there won't be any problems. I have a problem with it. Medallion owners have a problem with it. Green car permit holders, SHLs, have a problem with it. Problem is, once again, if you legalize any other form of transportation to do street hails, you're breaking the administrative code, the laws, and the heart and soul, the spirit of drivers who've been driving for decades with that exclusivity to pick up street hails. It's unjust, it's unfair, it's un-American, and when you have leaders listening just to one group, obviously, you're not hearing the whole story. And obviously, they don't listen to the Taxi Dave Show. And by the way, I want to make a correction, because the chairman of the For-Hire Vehicle Committee, Councilman Ruben Diaz Jr., I'm sorry, Preacher Councilman Ruben Diaz Jr., Senior. Junior's the Bronx Borough President. Senior. Some people call him the Puerto Rican Cowboy. For those of you who don't know, he's the first councilman I can remember to wear a cowboy hat in City Hall.
He's a vaquero.
Oh, there we go.
That's what they call cowboys in Puerto Rico.
Okay, so he also represents livery drivers. He represents a portion of the South Bronx, different areas in the Bronx. And I did state on the show that he was the only councilman I ran across that you can't get in touch with. There's no addresses at 250 Broadway where every councilman has an office. There's no phone number there. There's no address for his district office and no phone number. Well, miraculously, a day after the show, a phone number appeared on his website. It says district office with a Cha-ching. Phone number. Yeah, so people listen to the show, just like some cab drivers listen to the show who you heard us talk about the Uber and Lyft ads on the back of New York City buses. And we received a call from JFK Mike last week who was talking about it. And we have to get the head of the TWU on this show, because you have bus drivers who are in a union. How does it feel advertising guys who don't have a union and they're taking your fares away? I'm just curious. Not only the fares. We'll get into this after our guest.
Yeah, how's that working for you?
After our guest comes on and we talk about congestion pricing. But subway ridership is down the second year in a row. Okay, and there's a lot of things going on that John and Carolyn want to talk about. But right now, I want to introduce a former assemblyman, a Harvard Law School graduate. He was an assemblyman for 14 terms, about 28 years. He had introduced legislation that would consent organ donation presumption for New York residents. Richard Brodsky investigated New York's Metropolitan Transit Authority. So he is an assemblyman who investigated the MTA. He created or helped create the New York State School Tax Relief Program, known as STAR. Those of you who own homes will know you can thank Richard Brodsky for that. He's been involved in financial issues facing the MTA. And he was a leading opponent of New York City Mayor Bloomberg's congestion pricing proposal. Richard Brodsky, welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Nice to be with you. Nice, you did a good job reading my resume.
Thanks. We have to decide with the board of directors if we're going to hire you or not. Okay. So, originally we were going to talk about congestion pricing. A lot of other things have happened in our industry. But let's just talk about it. When the politicians, when the governor, when the came out and said, we're going to toll the free bridges in New York City. There was a lot of opposition. Oh, you can't toll the free bridges. Then they came out with a plan. Well, we're not going to toll the bridges. But when you get to the other side of the bridge, we're going to toll you. Okay? It's kind of like smoke and mirrors. How do you feel about that plan, Richard?
I don't think that would fool anybody. Look, congestion pricing is one of those cosmically bad ideas that people stumble across occasionally and don't think through. If we start charging fees for access to public streets, what are we going to do when the libraries get crowded? What are we going to do when the parks get crowded? If you legitimize the notion that average citizens, middle-class people, have to pay for access to what is the common areas of the city, there's no end to it. In addition to it being that sort of bad idea, it's regressive. You're going to see a New York City full of Mercedes and Ferraris and nobody with a Chevrolet to be able to get in past 60th Street. And in addition to that, it it's impossible to implement. So put it all together, and it was one of these terrible ideas that gained a little traction. I think it's safe to say the governor has walked away from congestion pricing as it was described, and what you're likely to see is something much closer to a fee on the Uber and Lyft guys and the money directed to the MTA, and everybody goes home happy.
We've talked on this show about those fees, but the way it was presented on a certain panel, the fees weren't only for Uber and Lyfts between $2 and $5 for fare. They were for yellow taxi drivers also, even though yellow taxi drivers have been paying, I should say the passengers have been paying an MTA surcharge for years, which goes
well,
to the MTA.
It may just be people who are listening to the show, Dave. Don't underestimate yourself. The debate has shifted, I think. No guarantees here. But the notion that you got to level the playing field, if the yellow cab guys are paying a fee, then maybe the Uber and Lyft guys should pay the fee. I think that sort of struck home. So what was a major piece of social engineering has been turned into, I think, a money-raising effort to help the MTA, which is a good thing. So the news for those of us who have been hoping that and working to stop congestion pricing, I think the news has been pretty good lately.
Yeah, Lou Bliou. You know what that means? I learned it tonight from Carolyn. It means I love you, Richard.
My Yiddish is pretty good, Dave, but that one's beyond me.
I just like to say, this is Carolyn here, there's a false equivalence between the FHVs and the yellow cabs. After all, we are mandated to be out there on the street. A black car being out there is sort of an elective thing. We bought a franchise, and we have to be on the street. If a few years ago when medallion values were still high and you wanted to buy one as an investor and just leave it on a shelf for a few years, not drive it, not lease it out, just put it on a shelf and wait for it to appreciate and then sell it, you were not allowed to do that. That car must be on the street. Even now, it has to be on the street. So we're in a little different position than the black cars.
Equivalent. And if you take that a little step further, I think it's fairly clear that the increase in traffic congestion in Manhattan especially is largely, not totally, but largely a function of an explosion in the number of Lyft and Uber drivers. So,
I read that less of your constituents are driving into the city. The report by Schaller indicated that there's less and less people in private cars driving into the city. Okay, there's 1,000 less yellow cabs on the street every day. So we've already done our part.
Because of the bike lanes and because of the Uber and the Lyft.
So where's it coming from? Yeah.
Technology, you can't hold it up your hand and stop technology. And internet apps and that kind of stuff is just, it's a new business reality that we're going to have to adjust to. And they're going to be winners and they're going to be losers. But you don't have to make it worse by somehow double charging just the guys who carry medallions. And as I said a moment ago, I think that argument's been fairly successful. And I don't think you're going to see a fully fleshed out congestion pricing plan go into effect.
Richard, you're bringing up about how we can't stop the technology, but even here at the radio show, and I was down at a hearing at City Hall, and we're doing debating about ticket pricing and about whether we're going to come in and pay below 60th Street. I mean, just in the last couple of days, Uber's come up with a new system called Express Pool. This is directly going to impact the buses and subways of this city, taking money out of their pockets and helping repair that, where they're going to have it, where people can take an Uber car for like $2, less than what you pay for a cab, but you have to walk a little bit to get to where it is. They pick you up and they pick up other people. So they're now going to be acting as a bus and the subway, taking money away from the MTA. And the way it's set up, the driver's not going to make any money out of this. But people are going to lose a lot of money.
The drivers, the Uber and Lyft drivers have been, I think it's becoming pretty clear, victims of this system as much as the ones who have driven us into the new system. The notion of independent contractors, the notion of how much they actually make an hour, the people are starting to realize that the winner in this fight so far has been the corporation that came up with the technology, the Uber Corporation. And whether you can sustain a city based on what's good for corporations is a fair question.
So let me clarify one thing.
Cab drivers have been for a century now. They've been the face of the city. I grew up in Flatbush. I recall that cab drivers are people you could talk to. If you got lost, you could trust the cab driver to take you home.
That's right.
And that kind of thing survived as the ethnicity of the city survived.
So let me ask you something, Richard. What is the solution, in your opinion? Do you have an idea for a solution?
What's the problem, Dave?
I'm sorry?
What's the problem?
Congestion pricing. I mean, congestion, period.
Look, congestion is partially a function of intentional acts by the government. There's a real good reason to have bike lanes, but one of the consequences of the bike lanes is big congestion. You have less room for cars. It's going to take longer. If what you want to do is reduce congestion, I think Mayor de Blasio is sort of headed down the right direction. If what you want to do is raise money for the MTA, which is also a good thing, I think there are ways to compromise your way out of it. But the social vision that says to a community like New York City, we're going to make Manhattan safe for Russian billionaires. We're going to make sure that if you drive a Chevy, you can't afford to go into Midtown. We're going to make sure that families of five who don't have a limousine or can afford a parking garage can't get into town. That's terrible. That's just not the kind of New York we want to build. It was the Bloomberg kind of New York because he saw the world through the prism of the very, very wealthy. We've got to find a way to see this city through the prism of what's good for middle income and working people and poor people just as much as the people of wealth and means.
That's right. Let's hear it for the half of 0.1%. Boo!
The peasants are
Richard,
in the way.
What's actually being set up is almost, particularly I live in Queens, is sort of a cultural apartheid where the people in Brooklyn and Queens will not be able to go in to see Broadway, off-Broadway shows just because of all these added expenses of parking, congestion, and everything else. So they just want to keep it, like you said, for the Russian billionaires who are buying those apartments over on 57th Street, that they'll have less traffic now when they want to go down to see Kinky Boots or any of the other plays there on Broadway.
Apparently you have a thing for Kinky Boots.
Listen, that's a secret. We're not supposed
that's
to talk about
show.
It.
Hey, that's later.
It was in the dossier.
So let me just clarify something. You said that there may have been, somehow you heard something, a change of heart, that additional surcharge on taxi fares, which we originally heard was going to be on Uber, Lyft, and yellow cabs. You've heard that the yellow cabs have actually paid their dues already by buying.
Well, let me tell you what I know.
Okay.
I know that after the governor made his statement in his State of the State speech, there was a lot of pushing back and forth. And for him to make the congestion pricing plan actually be an accomplished fact, he had to do something called add them to the 30-day amendments.
Right.
Which means that they had to be made a formal part of the budget. He didn't do that. That, I believe, is the death knell for the congestion pricing plan that I talked about. What I have heard is that the assembly is likely to put something like I described in their budget resolution, which is due in the next 3 weeks. Now, nothing's guaranteed, Dave. I'm not privy to secrets here that I'm revealing for the first time. I've talked to people who care about this issue in Queens, people like Kathy Nolan, who really sort of understands this. I've spoken to Ruben Diaz Jr., the borough president. These are people with a concern for average citizens. That's what I'm hearing. It could turn out not to happen that way.
I hope he speaks to his father.
Well, the Reverend Diaz is an empathetic man, and don't write him off. Give him a chance to do the right thing, and you never can tell. Everybody has their own way of going about their job, but get him on the show, man. He's good copy.
Yes, he is, and don't think we haven't been trying.
Oh, he will never turn down a radio interview.
Well, good. Get me his phone number and speak to Carol, and then we'll get him on the show. So here we are, folks. This is the Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Lacus Technologies and also Hereford Insurance Company. And Richard Brodsky, you just heard it. He believes this is a regressive tax. It's impossible to implement. And once you start fees on public streets, there's no end to charging the public fees on things that are free, like libraries, etc., and go on and on. Richard, I hope that you'll come back on the show another time.
Invite me, Dave. I'll show up.
Okay. Oh, thanks for being on the Taxi Dave Show.
Always a mitzvah, kiddo. Nice talking to you. And thanks for doing a little bit of work.
Thanks a lot, Richard. So, next up, Council Member Barry Gredenschik. Okay, he's a council member right now, and I don't know how he feels about congestion pricing. I have a feeling, since he's from Queens, he may have similar thoughts as former Assemblyman who we just had on. Who did we just have on?
Boy, how quickly we forget, huh?
CRS.
Yesterday's news.
CRS.
You, Dave.
That's right.
Not enough mess.
And you know, people are talking in my ear. They're throwing papers at me. I have this is going on. Emails are coming in. Calls are coming in. So, but anyway, Council Member Gredenschik, thanks for coming on the Taxi Dave Show.
Thanks for having me. And Richard Brodsky is one of the smartest people I ever served with. I was on his committee when he ran the Corporations and Authorities Committee, ran a great committee, very, very sharp guy. And I am from Eastern Queens. I'm a lifelong Queens resident, and I do oppose congestion pricing.
So,
and I could go on for a while about that if you
don't. Well, yeah, please do.
Well, you know, the thing is, I think I didn't hear all of what Richard had to say, but he's absolutely right. Once you go down this road, there is no way to come back. You will be charging people for everything. Mm. And, you know, we had a press conference sometime in the summer, I guess it was, Assemblyman David Weprin, who has been leading the charge against this, and my dear friend and our borough president in Queens, Belinda Katz. And at the press conference, we were standing at the foot of the Queensborough Bridge, and I said, you know, they want it to be $11.52 to cross over this bridge. But if you turn around and you go to Montauk, there's not a single toll. So I don't know what the fairness is in that. There are many places in the world where they charge you on certain roads. And we have that here in the United States. But I want to get to the heart of one of the strongest reasons that I am opposed to congestion pricing is that it is called congestion pricing, but it is not going to reduce congestion. Mm-hmm. If you look at the Fix New York report, we all agree that with the DOT data that says that traffic in the Midtown core region is now at 4.7 miles per hour. The report says that it would increase the speed in the Midtown core by 9% if they did congestion pricing. 9% of not very much is even less. So you're talking about another 0.43 miles per hour, which is just over 8 blocks an hour quicker. Then you're going to go every hour, you're going to get another 8 blocks. It doesn't seem like a bargain to me.
They need to put a cap on these four. Oh, I'm sorry, but I just feel that there needs to be a cap on four higher vehicles. And if you're really serious about congestion pricing, ban all private cars below 60th Street.
Well,
after 9/11, they did that in Lower Manhattan. And after 9/11, when they did it in Lower Manhattan, there was no traffic in Lower Manhattan. People loved it. I'm sorry, continue.
If you banned all private cars, which would have to include, of course, people who live there, that would stop congestion for sure, because it would only be for higher vehicles and trucks. The thing is, and in the Fix New York report also, I had a very nice discussion with Gridlock Sam about this about a month ago, but the Fix New York report says that there are over 30,000 extra for-hire vehicles on the streets of Manhattan now that are cruising. The people from my district that drive in and go to work or go to the hospital or go to the museum or go to the theater. Right. They're not getting parking on the streets of Manhattan. It's almost impossible to find. So they park their car somewhere and they go to Lincoln Center or they go to Broadway. They go to the doctor or most of them go to work. And that's what they do. And then at the end of whatever they're doing is over, they get back in their car and they drive back to Eastern Queens. So they're really not. Whatever they're doing is over. They get back in their car and they drive back to Eastern Queens. So they're really not a big part of the problem. The big part of the problem is people that are cruising looking for fares. I understand people have to make a living. I don't have a problem with that. But we regulate to the nth degree the yellow cab industry. It's unbelievable. And when the commissioner came before the transportation committee, I guess it was sometime last fall, I'm trying to remember, I said to her, there doesn't seem to be any sense of urgency here into trying to help these folks. I have people in my district that are losing their houses because they mortgaged them to buy a piece of the American Dream, a medallion, which is now worthless for them. We had a gentleman who killed himself outside of City Hall a few weeks ago. This is how serious this problem is. And until the city starts to deal with that, they're never going to get a handle on congestion.
We've had gridlock.
I don't think this is so much about getting a handle on congestion as it is finding another cash cow to feed the MTA.
I agree with you.
And it's not a static problem. Since we were here last week, Dave, there's another 500 for-hire vehicles on the road. There's going to be another 500 vehicles coming on the road this week. So this is an ever-increasing problem.
I'm a good capitalist. I understand, you know, and people go into business every day, and every day businesses fail, and that's what makes our society better in the long run is the survival of the fittest economically. But it's also a hell of a lot of pain that comes with that. And right now, the yellow cabbies are taking in the teeth. As I said, they're losing their homes. They've had at least three suicides that I know of. So this is a big problem, and this has been a regulated industry. Now, all of a sudden, you have this, Uber and Lyft and Via basically drop out of nowhere. This is a very recent phenomenon, and they're putting 30,000 plus cars a day, another 500 since last week, on the streets of Manhattan and on the streets of New York City. And that's where the big problem is.
And you hit it right on the head when you say there's no urgency. There's certainly urgency with Uber and them. They're coming up with devising new systems about how to pick up passengers almost on a weekly basis. But from a yellow cab point of view, there is no urgency. I was at a City Hall meeting there a couple of weeks ago that Ruben Diaz held there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just fighting in amongst us. The black cars were complaining about the tickets. Espaillat wants to do away with the Taxi and Limousine Commission. The owner of a yellow cab company wants to add to the Taxi and Limousine Commission, get more agents to ticket the black car guys. The dollar vans were complaining that Uber was starting to take away their business. And we were all cannibalizing each other. But meanwhile, Uber, another 500 cabs, another 500 cabs. They're motoring right along while nothing is being done, particularly with the yellow cab industry, except ruining it.
There's no sense of urgency whatsoever. I haven't seen it. You know, government does many things very well. I'm going to put out my garbage tonight. It may already be out. Probably my son hasn't done that yet. But am I recycling overnight or sometime early tomorrow morning? It'll be picked up. There's no question in my mind. You know, if God forbid I needed the fire department, they would be here in an instant. The PVB, the parking violator, very, very efficient at ticketing people. Our schools tomorrow morning have some of the best schools in the city of New York right here. The teachers are going to show up. The kids are going to show up. The schools will be open. The custodians will have them warm. All those things are good. When it comes to certain other things and the for-hire vehicle section of government leaves a lot to be desired. Lots and lots.
We have to take a break now. This is the Taxi Dave Show brought to you by Lacus Technologies and here for an insurance company. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. We do have some callers, and our email address is taxihale@aol.com. Councilman, can you stay on a couple of more minutes or do you have to run?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. This is the Taxi Dave Show. Stay tuned for more. Dr. driver. You really should join Lacus Technologies and get the Lacus app. Okay? The idea is to get up in the morning, go on your iPhone, and get your cab without having to go to a garage. You get your cab on the street, if there are cabs there. Okay? It's been so popular, it's getting tougher. And right now, it's good to sign up now, because when they get more medallions, and they're planning on getting a ton more medallions, when they get more medallions, they're going to need hundreds of drivers. So right now, you should sign up. Go to the Lacus app. Do it after the show. Do it tomorrow. Do it the next day. If you speak to them out there, out in Brooklyn on McDonald Avenue, tell them you heard about it on the Taxi Dave Show. L-A-C-U-S. Lacus. L-A-C-U-S.
The Taxi Dave Show.
Before you pay your next premium, check with Hereford Insurance Company. They have the most competitive prices, and they're specialists for the New York City transportation industry. They have workers' compensation and liability for medallions, black cars, car services. They insure also, they insure ambulettes. That's Hereford Insurance Company. And Hereford Insurance Company wants you to know that insurance fraud is a crime punishable by fine and jail. So if you want to report insurance fraud, call 1-866-HEREFORD. That's H-E-R-E-F-O-R-D. 1-866-HEREFORD to report insurance fraud. They have a special investigations unit, and they will investigate.
Hey, taxi.
Where to, buddy?
The Taxi Dave Show.
Sit out and run, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight. Just my gifts and sleep tonight.
Taxi Dave Show is back.
I ran down.
We're here with Councilmember Radenchik from New York City. Before we continue, recalls. If you have a Mitsubishi, an Outlander, a 2008 through 2010, if you have a Lancer Evolution, a Lancer Sportback with a sunroof, there's 57,000 of you. The sunroof glass may detach from the sunroof. That recall is expected to begin on March 27th. Imagine driving down the road and it's raining out, or it's in the middle of the winter, and all of a sudden, chew, your roof flies off.
Isn't that the purpose of a sunroof? Come on.
Well yeah, that's true.
I mean, now you have it. Hey,
well, if it flies off on sunny days, yeah, you can patent
flying?
That.
That's dangerous.
Here's an email. We have a few emails, actually. So let me just... okay, there's so many emails coming in here, I don't know where to begin. Gabriel, let's take some callers. Gabriel, you're next on the Taxi Dave.
Hey, how you doing, Dave? You know, at the beginning of the show, you mentioned the definition of a taxi cab and the admin code. And Councilman Gradenchik was talking about cruising the streets. I want to tell you how the city, in my view, let this all happen. I think what they did was, first, they narrowed the definition of what a taxi cab license is. Historically, it wasn't a right just to a quote-unquote handtail, it was the right to cruise. Sam Schwartz in his book Street Smart talks about the street being a finite good. This is madness what's going on. The second part is they broadened the definition of a black car by ignoring the rules. Dave, the definition for black car in the admin code is that 90% of the business is non-cash, and that the cars themselves, not the base, the cars need to be owned by a franchisee or cooperator. Mira Zosi at the TLC, at the council this September, this is what she said.
And the definition for the black car in the ad code is simply that they do 90% of their work non-cash.
You heard that?
We heard it.
Okay.
I heard it.
Why is she ignoring the rule that would effectively put a limit on the black cars? Why is she perpetuating a myth of the growth of no growth control mechanism? And why, with all due respect to Councilman Gradenchik, who I so appreciate for giving a voice to medallion owners, why are they allowing her to do that? Enough is enough. I don't know. Why is she lying?
Okay, thanks a lot for calling.
Listen, I took her to task, and I told her when she appeared before the committee, I went to this committee. I'm not on the transportation committee. I wasn't on it then, and I'm not on it now, but we, of course, have a right to sit in on any committee hearing that comes before the council. And I said to her, there's no sense of urgency. There is absolutely, in that TLC has no sense of urgency. And he's right about one thing, as he said at the beginning, the streets of New York are a finite space. Obviously, it's a lot easier to drive in my part of Queens and on Staten Island than it is in on Fifth Avenue or on Van Damme Street or Flatbush Avenue. So there are differences, but people want to be where the action is. And we have got to come up with a rational, reasonable limit that doesn't choke the city to death.
Noah, let's take our next caller. You're live on the Taxi Dave Show. Emil, you're live on the show.
Oh, hi, Mr. Dave.
Hi.
Last night I saw 4 accidents of Uber. What about the accident I didn't see? Nobody talk about many accidents from Uber because they use the app. I wish to know there is no any action taken about this accident. That's it.
Emil, you brought up an excellent point. We've mentioned on the show, and it just so happens I pulled out the stats before the show. I really did. Crashes involving TLC licensed vehicles. Keep in mind, trips are about the same between 2014 and 2017. Okay? July 2014, 2,600 crashes. May 2017, 4,300 crashes, a 65% increase. But in the black car segment, now understand, most of the black car groups are only a skeleton of what they used to be. They only have 30% of the cars they used to. The Uber cars, the Uber black car bases are the ones who really have the overwhelming majority of the black cars. In July of 2014, they had 534 crashes. In May of 2017, 2,800 crashes, a 426% increase. And that's probably gone up more.
Wow.
Okay, if you've ever noticed, John, on the dashboard, they have 1, 2, 3, 4 phones.
It's an Apollo spaceship. You're looking at that. They're going to the moon, these guys.
I'm surprised they
got this. I got this app. I got that app.
And they have to communicate with the passenger before they pick them up. So the distracted driving, you know, I'm glad Emil called. He's absolutely right with what you noticed.
Mm-hmm. And imagine what that does to congestion, all these extra accidents.
Cassius, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show. Do you have a question for our guest?
Not specifically, but I've called you a couple times before. I've been a yellow cabbie for a little over 5 years now. I'm actually driving right now.
Where do you live?
Where do I live?
Yeah.
I live in Brooklyn, in Bed-Stuy.
Okay.
You had a guest on before this one, and He tried to make it sound like he had real substantial things to say about the subjects, but he didn't really. I mean, I'm so sick of hearing people talk about the congestion pricing and then say, you know, like they talk about it as if the most important thing is that we get money for the MTA. We need serious solutions to the congestion problem. Screw the MTA. You know, we don't need to give the MTA any more money because they obviously. Like that New York Times article from just a couple of months ago showed us, they're so darn corrupt, they'll just waste any money that is given to them, and they'll allow the unions to pilfer and go crazy with overtime. And what we need to do is cap the app cars, and when the city needs to be willing to tell like tens of thousands of app car drivers, you know, look, we're sorry, we made a mistake, we should have never let it grow this much, and the city has to be willing to put these people out of this industry. And maybe we need like the city to start up some job training programs to get them into other industries. But that's how we solve the most important problem, the congestion problem, and then all the app cars stealing business from us and yellows and the black cars and green cars. You know, we have to put caps and you know, push a lot of those drivers out of their.
I think the driver problem fixes itself because, from what I've read, they have a 50% attrition rate within 6 months and close to a 95% attrition rate in a year. Some of these black cars, a friend of mine told me, have been turned over 3 and 4 times.
And we're talking about mostly the app bases.
Yeah, so those guys are going to go anyway because they can't make enough money to stay on the road. They just can't.
You know what we really need? there was this meeting this week. Ruben Diaz Sr. called it for the for-hire vehicle committee, and I couldn't make it last week. But we really need an NYPD illegal street hail task force, okay? That's what we really need, and that'll solve all these issues. Now, I've heard there are people...
I'm not so sure that will, because if they're not doing anything illegal, they're not going to be stopped, and you're still talking about 30,000 new cars on the roads, especially in Midtown.
Well, it's funny, because some of your constituents who take cars in, others who don't take cars in, who take public transportation in to see a Broadway show in New York City or go to Lincoln Center, when they leave and they want to take a yellow cab back home, they put their hand out, and every other vehicle except the yellow cab will stop for them because yellow cabs are busy in that area right after the Broadway show. You need to be patient and wait, you know, 10 minutes or so, and an empty cab will come by. But, you know, it happens to me. It happens to me. And I don't even have my hand up. I'm standing on the corner waiting for my friend to bring the private car. Oh, you need transportation? I said, yeah, I do. Where you going? Havistra. I'll only charge you $250. I said, no, I'll wait for my friend. Hey, are you kidding me?
Maybe not $250. I think that there just doesn't, as I said before, there doesn't seem to be a sense of urgency. The TLC could be doing a lot more. I'm hopeful that Ruben Diaz Sr., a new member, will come up with legislation that will help us to begin to address this problem. But I think the TLC could be doing steps on their own. And the other thing is, I agree with what that gentleman said about the MTA. The MTA moves a lot of people around every day. There's no question about it. Without the MTA, without the subways and the buses, the Long Island Railroad Metro, we would ground to a halt. But they've lost their efficiency. They are woefully inefficient at spending our money. The construction, you look at the East Side Access issue, which if done properly could have given some relief to the people in my neck of the woods. It's 14 years overdue, and it's billions and billions of dollars over budget.
What's a few billion between friends?
I am a very frugal. My wife will tell you I'm frugal. So I don't mind spending money, but I want to get my value.
You know, I've said it here a million times. Bloomberg's first year and his third month, he came out and he said, why does the MTA have more accountants than the city of New York? There's a reason for it. It's called creative accounting. Jim, you'll be our last caller while we have Councilman Gradenchik on, and then we'll take some other calls. You're live on the Taxi.
Good evening, everybody. It's really weird that our leaders talk now about the congestion, even though they were doing their best to create congestion for the past 6 years. There's no caps on the number of cars added to New York City. There's bus lane, there's a bike lane, and they also cut down on the number of lanes available in the city. Look at the Bowery. Look at the 5th Avenue below 14. Look at 7th Avenue below 30th. So they were doing their best to create congestion, and now they're talking about solving the problem. Well, hello? I mean, look at them for the past 6 years.
So what's your question?
My question is they shouldn't be involved in the solution because they were the problem. They created all this problem with Uber, Lyft, bus lane, bike lane. Look at 5th Avenue 6 years ago. It's different from now below 14. Look at 7th Avenue below 30th. How many lanes do you have now?
One lane in a lot of the avenues. You're absolutely right.
So
Cross streets, too, now, 23rd Street. You can't get off it. Most times you have to start at the East River. You're in the Hudson River before you can make another turn.
So why in the world? I mean, it's just funny. I thought they were doing their best.
Well, the one thing that the city has been successful in, and I'm just saying the city in general, is the lack of confidence they've instilled in the yellow taxi industry, in the green car industry, in the livery industry, in the black car industry. It's interesting. You said, Carolyn, 500 or 2,000 new black car vehicles. And I say black car, it's really the app-based Uber cars that are being registered.
Right.
So that's 500 times, I forget what the application fee is. It's a lot of money. And it's money for the state, too, because they register those cars and, you know, then they insure them. So just listen to this quote. Confidence, thrives on honesty, on honor, on the sacredness of obligations, on faithful protection, and on unselfish performance. Without them, confidence cannot live. And that was Franklin D. Roosevelt. Councilman Gorodnik, any last words to our listening audience?
I do want to say that we will be steadfast in our opposition to congestion pricing, and I'm hopeful that the council will be able to find some solutions to congestion. One suggestion I do want to make before I leave you, I think we need to also look at we have a high occupancy vehicle lane going into the Midtown Tunnel. You need three people. I think we should start to look at that for rush hours into Manhattan on the other approaches, including the Brooklyn Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge, the Queensboro Bridge, and from the Jersey side as well. That would certainly cut down on vehicles entering the Midtown core during the rush hours.
Councilman Gorodnik, Barry Gorodnik, I'm sorry.
Gredenchik.
Gorodnik retired. He's the old guy. The new guy is Gredenchik. Councilman Barry Gredenchik, the New York City councilman. I want to thank you for being on the Taxi Dave Show.
My pleasure.
And I hope you'll come on again.
I'll be happy to come back. Take care.
Thank you. Okay. It's confidence that we need to instill. All right. Now, we're talking. Now, let's just talk about how this is all kind of related. So, you have the black car bassist Traditional, who took a beating, lost 70% of their radio rights owners. A lot of them, those other 70%, went to the Uber bassist for apps. You have the app-based drivers with 3 and 4 phones on their dashboard. They're communicating while they're in traffic. Traffic is overabundance. If you're in Manhattan, you know what I'm talking about in the Central Business District. There's a hearing, and at the hearing at the city council, which I could not attend, there were a lot of livery drivers calling for the abolishment of the Taxi Limousine Commission. A congressman, Espiot, was there calling for the abolishment of the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission. The New York City Taxi Limousine Commission, everything worked until the Uber cars came. Now, all of a sudden, it doesn't work. People are getting fines. You know what? If you break the rules, you get fines. There are, you know, NYPD writes summonses, and we all know Castro at Penn Station, and we all know that other guy who was on Lexington Avenue, Corny. Okay, we all know that they have it in for yellow cab drivers, and you know, don't have your tail light in a crosswalk, or you're going to get summonses and lose your day's pay. And Corny's no longer there. Somehow they got rid of him. I wonder why.
Shocking.
When thousands of cab drivers had the same three summonses in the same area at the same time. But that aside, I lost my point, my trend of thought.
You were talking about the tickets, and that was the main thing at the hearing about the black cars, particularly up in the Bronx, getting ticketed.
So the TLC's been concentrating. You have to understand, the governor, with the genius he had with TNC's legalizing private plates throughout the state. If you're out of New York City, you know what the governor did for you? Get your great-grandmother's car, and she can go and drive Uber on the way to the dentist and the orthopedist. Okay? She can drive an Uber car. You can drive an Uber car on the way anywhere. But what's really happening is people are saying, screw this with the TLC. I'm gonna register my car in Westchester County, where the governor lives, and I want to drive into Manhattan and work. Nobody could touch me. But guess what? We have Mike Spivak on the line, who's an attorney, and he represents drivers. And he's going to tell us something very interesting about summonses. Mike Spivak, welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Thanks for having me on your great show, David. Thank you very much.
So what have you found recently with some drivers regarding illegal street hails, and what kind of vehicles are they?
Well, they're street plate vehicles. That means that they're not licensed. The vehicles are licensed by the TLC, the Taxi and Limousine Commission, and the driver himself doesn't possess a taxi, a New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission license. And they're picking up generally at the airports, at the hotels, near subways. I'm seeing the enforcement in my office, because my office is near the airport. I'm seeing a lot of drivers come into me from the airport, and they're stopped either picking up or even dropping off at the airport.
With private plates.
With private plates.
Right. Well, you know what? if it's your brother, your wife, your son, your grandmother going to Florida, yeah, you can drop her off. But if you're taking money from passengers, and those are passengers, it's illegal. And I got news for you passengers who do that. You get in a car like that, and you have an accident. Just say I'm your brother. Just say I'm a friend. Guess what? If there's a horrific accident, you're not going to have any insurance.
And what's the fine for that, Mike?
Well, that's part of the reason I'm calling. The first offense, you can amend the summons down kind of as a warning that don't do this again. It's usually amended to around a $750 fine for the owner of the car and a $750 fine for the driver. If the owner and driver are the same person, it may wind up being $850. But on the second offense now, what I'm finding is that drivers' cars, and they could be worth $15,000, $20,000, they're being seized and not being given back if they lose the case. So the fine is a $2,000 fine from TLC, but the driver could lose their vehicle to the TLC. The TLC will sell it, and the proceeds will go to pay for further enforcement by the TLC. But you can wind up losing a $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 car if you get caught even a second time picking up in straight plates without TLC license in the city.
So it's okay for medallion owners to lose a family lifetime investment. That's okay. But a guy breaking the law, caught red-handed, oh, we have to do away with the TLC. You know, guess what, folks? That's like saying people committing crimes, we should do away with NYPD. That's like saying every teacher should carry a gun. That'll solve the problem.
I agree with you 100%, David. It sounds like sour grapes from criminals.
My gosh.
But at the city council meeting, the spin they were putting on it, particularly Reverend Diaz, he was saying the fine is way too much because it's only a $6 fare that they're picking up, or it's a $7 fare, that it's disproportionate, the price of the ticket that they're getting. He wasn't even saying, we know it's illegal, but you're just charging too much. And he was trying to downplay, it's only a $6 fare. Now, if you got hundreds or even thousands of cars picking up those $6 fares that should have been going to yellow cabs, that's destroying the business.
We only have a minute or two left, but I want to tell you this. I want to know why no one from the taxi industry, and maybe there's a reason for it, was invited to any of these private meetings with certain politicians, like Espiot, and maybe even Ruben Diaz Sr.?
Yeah.
Okay, why wasn't the taxi industry invited to any of these meetings? I don't understand. Is this something that I should know? The green car should be there. They're calling for the green cars not to pick up any dispatch calls, only street hails. But they want street. This is crazy. It's insane. And as Brodsky said, the insane people are running the asylum.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, real quick, Mike, thanks for... Mike, if anybody needs your services for summonses, how do they reach you?
212-754-1011. 212-754-1011.
Mike Spivak, thanks for coming on the Taxi Dave Show. We are brought to you by Lacus Technologies. And you really, drivers, you really should sign up for Lacus Technologies, because when those medallions hit, we expect to see hundreds and hundreds of medallions parked all over the city. Who knows? You'll have a yellow cab to pick up 5 minutes from your house instead of schlepping into the garage. John, what's going on with you?
Well, if anybody wants to see me do shtick, I do a one-man play about driving a yellow cab for 40 years. Just go to offthemeter.net. And I could appear at a theater near you. I just survived the Bronx. They said yellow cabs don't go to the Bronx. I was up in the Bronx last week.
Carolyn.
Tentatively, I will be appearing on Errol Lewis's show inside City Hall on Thursday night, March 1st, from 7 to 8 with some other medallion owners.
All right. That's the Errol Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, I want to thank our guests, Richard Brodsky, Barry Redenchik, and Claire, Carolyn, John, as always. Thank you so much. Thanks, Noah, behind the glass. I got to go now.
Taxi!